about relationships is radical. That he teaches us that we are to love as he loves us. That we're to communicate from the heart. And that the very idea of greatness is being a servant. Well, we want to look then to say, well, what does that mean for the relationships of our family? Everyone wants a happy home. A home that is full of respect and not continual belittling. A home where each person can grow and flourish and be safe. A home that's filled with laughter, not bitterness. A home where there are eye-to-eye conversations and not just mere passing comments. A home where there is a sense of striving together rather than fractured directions. If you look, though, into the world, that's not the model of a family that you find. What we see is that this type of family, the one that is a truly happy home, can only happen when we've oriented our family and all of those relationships around Christ. And so I'd ask you, if you would, to turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Because in Ephesians 5, we have what is presented to us are the relationships that are within the family. And I asked Matt to read in Colossians 3, because Colossians 3, they're sort of like the cliff notes of Ephesians 5. But in Ephesians 5, we have the context of the family relations. But in that context, what we see is that Christ-like families begin by being filled with the Spirit. And so we really want to begin there in verse 15 of Ephesians 5, where it says, "Therefore be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to God, even the Father. And be subject to one another in the fear of Christ." So we see that true family relationships begin when we are filled with the Spirit. And verses 19 through 21 show us what happens when we are filled with the Spirit. In that, what happens is that there is a sense in which our hearts overflow in song because of what we have in Christ. That our thankfulness is at the very center of all that we do. And we also see that we submit to one another because we are filled with the Spirit. That idea of submitting to one another means to voluntarily put yourself under another, to be subordinate to another person. One man said it this way: submitting to someone means not rebelling with a sense of superiority, or a feeling that you are too good to stoop and help when someone needs you for service. Christ submitted himself to us as he died on the cross. Here's the King, the Creator of all, and yet he says, "I'm willing to submit myself to you." The same idea we find throughout Scripture of that idea that we are to submit to each other. In Romans 12 and verse 10, it says, "Outdo one another in showing honor." In Philippians 2 and verse 3, it says, "Do nothing from selfishness or conceit, but in lowliness count each other better than yourselves." And as we've already talked about, this idea of the humility that we are to have, it's not that I'm putting myself down and saying, "Oh, I'm just a terrible person," and that by doing that, I'm putting others above me. It's that I'm raising other people above myself. I'm looking out for their needs before mine. And so this kind of humility, this readiness to serve rather than to be served, to honor rather than to be honored. It's not of our own doing, but it is a fruit of the Spirit. That the Spirit creates in us that selflessness that we are willing to serve someone else. So when we submit in that way, what we find then is that the family relationships are really an expansion of that principle of submitting to one another. And so when we think about that idea of all of these family relationships then, what we see is that these family relationships are really service relationships. That the family is directed towards each other. And so when you think about all the relationships that are in the family, it is that the husband selflessly serves the wife, and that the wife selflessly serves her husband. That parents selflessly choose to serve their children, and children are to selflessly serve their parents. And that in this, each role is designed to fulfill the other's needs. But again, we don't see this in the world. That's not the way that the family in the world works. The roles in the family are all about self. What can I gain and who is going to serve me? But if we have that kind of mentality in our families, then that's where the fights and the conflicts and really ultimately the failure of the family begins, with that mindset of who's going to serve me. Because I'm more concerned about my needs rather than the other person. It becomes more of a scale type of we've used this word before, a pan scale type of love, saying, well, you didn't do this for me, so I'm not going to do this for you. Or I'll do this for you only when you do this, this, and this for me. The question then becomes, how do these relationships work in a Christian home? And the only way that they can work is when Christ is at the center of the family. That when we are filled with the Spirit, we do everything with a view of honoring Jesus. That we are in love with the glory of Christ. That we delight to bow down to Him as our Lord. And that He becomes then our motivation for everything that we do. That in all of life, I'm seeking to please Him. Whether it's in my work, whether it's in the way that I talk to someone, everything is, the focus is, I want to please my God, who has done all things for me. So He becomes that motivation. And that when He is the center of our life, when He is the center of our family's life, then those relationships are transformed. And really the context of Ephesians chapter 5 bears that out. Notice what we see in Ephesians 5, verse 21, what we've read, be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. Verse 22, wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself up for her. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. In all of these relationships, the focus is Christ. The motivation is Christ. And what we're saying then is, if Christ is our motivation in our family relationships, then this changes how we love. Because we love and we serve our family, not because they're the greatest spouse or the greatest parents or the greatest children. Let's face it, we're not that. But what we do is we serve and we love because of our love for Jesus. And because of what He has done for us. This then changes everything. Because now I can love when things aren't going well. that I can love in the good and the bad. When my spouse isn't what they should be, I love not because they're not doing their part, but because I love because of what Christ has done for me. And then I say, you know what? I'm going to keep on loving. I'm going to keep on serving because that's what Christ has done for me. So we love in the good and the bad. We love when our needs are not met. And so what really matters then is if we want to improve our family relationships, where we begin is with our personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Because if he's not our motivation, then I'm back to myself. I'm back to, well, what are you going to do for me? So how then, or what do these service relationships look like? We see that for the husband, you are to be the servant leader. You are to be the head of the family. As it says there in verse 23, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. You are to fulfill your wife's needs. You're to love her as Christ loved the church. How did Christ love the church? He loved the church sacrificially, selflessly, completely. He loved the church unconditionally. And so, husbands, we are to love unconditionally that way to our wives. That's God's design. That is their greatest need, is to be loved. That means that we give a love that gives assurance, that gives safety, a love that provides for her spiritual, emotional, and physical needs. In verse 28 and 29, it says, so husbands ought also to love their own wives as Christ, or as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. For no one has ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church. An idea of nourish. Think of nourishment. That sustaining. Husbands, we are to provide that environment in the home for where our wives can grow and flourish both physically and spiritually as God intended. Cherish. What do you cherish? There are certain things that we hold in such value, we say, wow, this is precious. This is what I cherish. Husbands, we are to do that with our wives. That we see them as that special person, that princess. And that we value as no other. We hold them up as no other. Why? Is it because they've done something for us? No, Christ says you do it because I love you. You do it in the way in which I love. Husbands are to be the leaders in the home and to direct the family. To lead by seeking not what is in your best interest, but is what is in your best the best interest of your wife and your family. That means you're going to make sacrifices. That means there are going to be things that you want to do, but you won't be able to because there are greater needs than your own. And this love is not dependent upon the response of your wife. That's usually where marriages and really all of these relationships break down. Is when we start saying, well, but they didn't do this and they need to do that. It's not dependent upon that. is dependent upon you as husbands to love despite what happens. You keep on loving. You keep on providing. Because that's what God has done for you. Is it going to be hard? Yeah. Is it going to be easier to focus on yourself? Sure. But God says keep loving. We see that wives are to submit to their husbands. That you serve your husbands by placing yourself under your husband's leadership. That's not to say that he's always going to make the right decisions. There's going to be several times in marriage where we as men just foul things up. But it is the idea of this voluntarily submitting out of reverence for Christ. And that wives are to unconditionally respect their husbands. Because this is his greatest need. That in respect you admire and believe in your husband. Rather than continually magnifying his faults and mothering him. That you seek not to show contempt for all the bad things that he's done, but that you build him up. Because you do this as unto the Lord. In the same way, this respect is not to be based on, well, what has he done for me? You give it unconditionally. Because that's what the Lord does for you. We see with parents, that service relationship is to provide for our children. And that we are to provide what is best for them. That you will place yourself under their needs. You will love unconditionally with patience. Provide for and protect your children. Paul, speaking there to father, says, don't provoke them to wrath or to anger. But that can be for all, both mothers and fathers. But that doesn't mean that we give them everything they want. It means that we don't exasperate them. We don't put too much on them of what they can bear. But so many times in this world today, we find that that role has changed. That the children now are the ones who are in control. That's not what he's saying here. He's not saying, be your children's best friend, give them everything they want. Set boundaries for your children. They need that. They need to know what is right and what is wrong. That's part of what we give them. Those are needs that they have, whether they know it or not. We are to give that to them. Most importantly, we are to reflect the love of Christ to them. That we are to make God and his love a part of every aspect of their lives. Parents, are you doing that? How many times do your dinner conversations revolve around Christ? What about when you ride in the car? Is it about what TV show is going to come on? Or do you take the time? Do you intentionally say, kids, I want you to understand what God has done? That's the needs that they have. And we serve them by providing those needs. But it also says that children are to serve their parents as they obey their parents. And this is where we're all alike, because you may not be a spouse, you may not be a parent, but we're all children. And what he calls us to do is to obey our parents. This applies whether you're a toddler, or a teenager, or an adult. Is that we love and we respect our parents in our obedience to them. Now, you may not agree with them. You may think that you are even right when they are wrong. But that's not what God calls us to. God calls us to obey. And that we do that not because of what they've done, but he says you do it in the Lord. That becomes the motivation. Now I understand, as children, that's probably the time where we, as children, we don't understand that when we're little. Because even when we are adults, we struggle with that, to understand that idea of selflessness. But Paul says here through the Spirit, every relationship is focused not about me, but about that other person. And it is done because I'm motivated by what Christ has done for me. So when we are filled with the Spirit, there is a selflessness that is brought about within us. That we learn to sacrifice for others. We learn to let go of the control to someone else. We learn to be long-suffering. We learn to truly forgive without holding on to anger. And all of this can happen when we have Christ at the center of our families. Not that he's on the peripheral, but that he is foremost in our relationships. That when that happens, then those family relationships are what God intended them to be. Serving each other, and in that way, our needs, all of our needs, are provided for. But all of that begins when we have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Because if we don't have that, no matter how hard we try, everything else will fall apart. It begins with Christ. So this morning, do you have that personal relationship with Christ? In that you can say, I know him intimately. I know what he has done for me. I know the love that he has for me. And because of all that he has done, I love him. And I submit myself to him. If you can't say that this morning, then why not change? He and his grace is here for each and every one of us. It's not our invitation. It's his invitation to come and be his children. Or if you just need prayers, maybe your family life is not what it needs to be. Maybe you're struggling, and we all struggle from time to time. There's no perfect family because we're all broken people. But God helps us, and we can pray with you. If you need God in any way, won't you come as together we stand and sing?